A new experience yesterday. I was doing some work on just a 10-foot step ladder, leaned up against a wall, and was climbing up the ladder and fell off. It was an interesting situation. I was almost to the top of it and went to pull a tool bucket up around over something and went to reach for something else to grab, and there was nothing there. It was like this. So there I went back. I looked down, and there's Jesse standing there. So I just kind of jumped. And, you know, you don't always think about things. I forgot to flex. I just came straight down like that. The tool bag fell out of my hands. Tools went flying everywhere. And later, you know, Jesse's still putting his stuff on. And I said, you know, I just fell off the ladder, right? He says, I moved. But then he did. He said, Dad, did it hurt? I said, well, you seen those cartoons where Donald Duck lands flat-footed and his feet go kind of like, I said, that's the way I feel from my feet to my neck right now. And, heavens, but his reply, well, I moved. Well, I'm glad you did. Anyhow, praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to continue on in our series, Gods of Our Fathers. Today we're looking at impatience. This is something that, I don't know about your family, my family's loaded with it. I would say yours is too, because the world is loaded with impatience today. All we have to do is look at our society. Go down the road. Miss Vicky's not here right now. She could tell you, I mean, she was a manager for Wendy's, and they had so many seconds, folks, seconds per car to get them out the drive-thru. 30, oh, that's right, you worked there too. 30 seconds to get somebody out of the drive. Now, just stop and think about this for a second. People are going to get their underwear in a knot because I had to wait 35 or 40 seconds. Stop and think about that in the grand scheme of life. What is 40 seconds to spend a little time? You know, we wonder why we have health issues today. We're eating on the run all the time. We don't sit down. We don't enjoy the meal. Now, I know there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that say that they eat just to put food back in their body. Well, praise God, that's the whole point of eating. But I put what tastes good to my body into it. You know, I could... You can go out there and you can take a car that's designed to run on high test. You've got a Corvette that's supposed to have high test in it, if not a little bit higher than that yet. And you go put the low-grade stuff, the 87 octane in it, that car is not going to run. It's going to knock, it's going to ping, it's going to diesel, it's going to do everything it's not supposed to do. Well, anyhow, I'm getting off subject there. But what I was getting to was... We don't take the time anymore to enjoy the meal. You know, back when we read about Jesus and having supper with his disciples, yeah, there were some times that they were walking through the fields eating. They'd take some grain, pop the grain, the seeds out, and eat them. But that really wasn't a common thing, because around a meal, it was a little more laid back. You read in there one time where it said that John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, had his head on Jesus' chest. Now, a lot of people, well, he was a homosexual. No, farthest thing from the truth. It was their custom to actually eat laying down on a couch. Kind of like what we do today, right? Except in this case, Jesus was behind him, and in order to talk to him, he was maybe on his left side eating with his right hand. He rolled over, and there was Jesus. So it was more of a thing that they stopped, they slowed down, and they enjoyed what they were doing. Today, food. We don't enjoy it. I mean, even if you go to a real restaurant, you get upset. I love it when I go to a restaurant and I see a sign that says, this is not fast food. Thank God. That's what I don't want, is fast food. I want something that's prepared for me. It's not been sitting under a heat lamp for the last 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? That's okay once in a while, but after a while, it gets old. I personally like, okay, you know, I'd like to know if I go to a steakhouse, they cooked that steak for me because I ordered it medium. I didn't order it well done. Now that's Angela. Once it turns to shoe leather, she's good to go. I'm just teasing. But you see, we do not slow down and enjoy things. We're so impatient. We're trying to get things done. There was a couple years ago, Alabama did a song called, I don't remember what it's called, but it was, "I'm in a hurry to get things done." My car goes 0 to 60, why? You know, who cares how fast it goes? And, you know, Joshua and I, we discovered something the other day, and this is a Motorhead thing, but there's a motorcycle that if I had the 27,000 just sitting around with nothing else in the world to do with it, because it's a used bike, but it goes 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. That's boogieing. Of course, it's got a 350 engine bolted to it, too. So so you take the engine out of my truck and put it on that motorcycle, it's going to propel it. But you see, we're so concerned about how fast things can do. How fast is our internet service? You know, I remember we got dial-up. I'm like, great, man, we're high-tech now. Well, they got DSL. They got this thing called Roadrunner now, man. It just blows your socks. Well, then we got DSL. Like, oh, yeah, so much better than dial-up. Well, then I got Roadrunner. I can't go back. You see what I'm saying? We are so bound up in a thing that we're too impatient. And I find this in myself, even working with the computer. Well, it's supposed to be instant. Click, 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 click. Then somebody told me, said, every click, you got to wait for that thing to process. I guess I might as well go eat dinner because I just hit that thing about 100 times. Some of the antonyms of patience are frustration, agitation, and intolerance. These are things that are opposite of what patience is. Frustration, agitation, and intolerance. We don't think about, you know, losing our patience, suddenly becoming frustration and agitation and intolerant of people. You know, there are times, yes, that Jesus did say to his disciples, how long do I have to bear with you? Or how long will I have to tolerate you? But what we have to understand is that was not in the first 5 minutes of ministry. He was about to be crucified. And he needed these guys. He's like, okay, you've been here long enough. See, we get upset when we think that people ought to start acting like grown-ups. There's a certain age I think you need to start acting like a grown-up. I do not expect my 9-year-old to act like my 14-year-old. Neither do I expect my 14-year-old to continue to act like my 9-year-old. Because see, my 14-year-old keeps reminding me, Dad, I'm not far from being able to get my permit. He keeps reminding me. And I said, well, you're buying your own truck. You're buying your own insurance. He's already got his truck found. He's just going to have to be able to afford the gas and the insurance on the thing. I mean, I can almost walk underneath it. But it's not quite maybe that high, but it does, the bottom of the cab's about right there. The guy has a stepladder right now to get up over and work into the bed. But anyhow, so if he's going to want the responsibilities of an adult, I'm going to want him to grow up. I'm going to have things I'm going to expect of him. I told him, I said, next year, I said, and if God works it out, I said, you can even get a part-time job now. You are of legal age, you can do that. Why? Because when he's 20 years old, I don't want to be footing the bill for his car payment, for his rent payment, for his electric payment, because, well, we got to hurry up and just get you grown up instead of letting them grow up. We do that in this society. We're too impatient on things. We don't let things take where they're supposed to be. But anyhow, so Jesus did say, you know, hey, I've been with you a long time now. How much longer am I going to have to keep doing this for you? I'm about to leave. He kept telling him, I'm about to go and you're not going to have me anymore. So he was telling his disciples, okay, he was very patient. He got up to the end and he's like, we're supposed to be going to bat tomorrow morning. You told me you were ready. I thought you knew how to play the game. Thought you knew the rules of the game. As like a coach spending the entire summer teaching his team how to play baseball, and then they get to the series, and they act like they don't know how anymore. That's what the disciples were doing. They were still acting childish. Now, that's a whole nother subject, but Jesus got a little intolerant of that attitude. You're grown men. Start acting like it. And I tell you right now, you know what? You want to know when I expect kids to start growing up? 13. You're 13 now. You start acting like it. You're not 10. You're not 8. You're not 5. You want to throw a temper tantrum? Fine. Go throw it in your bedroom. I don't care. Of course, I'd light mine up. Oh, you? Yeah, I would. I ain't going to tolerate that garbage in my house. But I'll tell you right now, that is why Joshua is as well-grounded as he is. Because I expect things of him. And then I allow him. He's got his own checking account. Of course, I've got the card to it. And my name on it. But anyhow, so patience, according to the dictionary, is the capacity, and this was on an online dictionary, the capacity to endure waiting, delay, or provocation without becoming angry or upset. That's what patience is. Now, maybe I'll just start saying some stuff to people. I was in the bank the other day, and there was a woman. She was doing work. You know, after the bank, the Chase Bank down here, you know, you can only put so much transactions through the window now. You have to go inside to do them. Well, so we have to go inside and do our transactions now. But this lady came in. Well, there's another woman in there from a business doing their business work. And this other lady comes in there, and she sees that the three tellers are working currently. And she stands there, and I kid you not, for 30 seconds, and starts going, She starts getting impatient. Now, this woman's too old to act like that. She was 65 or 70 years old, maybe older. You're about, never mind. And as I stood there and I watched her, she got more and more impatient. She was probably depositing $500. This woman had deposited probably $10,000. Who's the bank going to pay more attention to? Well, personally, if I was depositing $10,000 and they gave me the same attention that they gave somebody who only deposits $500 a month and I deposit $10,000 a month, hey, I expect a little bit of attention here. I'm the one paying your salaries, my interest that I'm not getting, that you are. But anyhow, so she starts getting impatient. Why? Because we've developed this mentality in this world now that if I can't have a meal in 30 seconds or less, then it's not worth it. Why do you think we eat so many bad foods for us? It's because they're quick. TV dinners, are they good for you? Highly doubtful. No, they don't. Not anymore. I don't know what. I think my taste buds changed. I used to love TV dinners. But now it's like, But I love fried chicken. I love fried chicken. But you go to KFC. Now, I don't know, I've never worked in here, never known anybody that's actually worked in here, but it doesn't take nearly as long to cook it at KFC as it did Mama to cook it in the frying pan. And it don't taste the same either. But yet, we go to KFC. It's fast. It's convenient. Well, we wonder why we're killing ourselves. Because we're impatient. We're not willing to wait on things. We get upset. Or we push ourselves. I do this, and this is a bad trait in me, is I push myself until I'm hungry and I've got to eat now. It's either I eat now or I'm going to start chewing on people's ears. Me and Mike Tyson have something in common there. So impatience pushes us to wrath. causes us to become upset because we're impatient instead of waiting on things to be done properly and in order. See, today our building practices are out of kilter. Now, yeah, they still put the roof on. Well, sometimes they put it on last. Sometimes they lift the thing up, and then they got different practices. But I remember a commercial job I worked on. I was a subcontractor, in which I had everything, all the plumbing and stuff ready for the concrete. The concrete was coming in on Saturday morning. They poured the concrete in an office. It was about the size of this room. They poured it in this building that Saturday. Okay, mind you, this is February, okay, in Ohio. They poured concrete in this office in February. Monday morning, they built walls on it. Now, anybody who knows anything about concrete knows I could take my fingernail and I could scrape it. We were building on top of that concrete. We were compromising its integrity because it's of impatience. Oh, we got to get this done now. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you'd have just hired the right amount of crews in the beginning, instead of thinking you're showing a profit, because with all the waste you end up showing later, you didn't have as big of a profit if you'd have just said, hey, let's do this. Oh, no, no, we've got a whole other division. Their maintenance, their warranty. They'll come in and do it. That's why we don't do it right. We just take our time to do the job right. It gets done right the first time. But we get impatient. Well, I got to have it this way. I got to have it that way. I know Rob puts in windshields for a living. You know, if he gets impatient and decides, you know what, I'm not going to let that glue do whatever it's got to do. I'm just going to put the windshield in and get out of Dodge. I got a feeling Rob will be getting a call back in probably about a week when the water starts creeping in behind it. But you can't do that. He cannot do that in his field. Because eventually it'll cost him his job. If we keep operating in impatience, it's only going to destroy us. Synonyms of patience are bearing, calmness, diligence, humility, long-suffering, self-control. Does that sound familiar to anybody? That all sounds familiar. These are traits of Christians. And Christians are the least patient of all people. I'm not talking about we've endured a long time with somebody and now we're finally saying, it's time you grow up. I'm talking about somebody gets saved and instantly we're like, don't trust them. Well, you got to tell me something new? Listen, you just get saved, you don't have all access. I'll just tell you that right now. If I just meet you, you think I'm going to let you come into my house anytime you want? Now, although I have extended that invitation to some of my family, none of them do it. Although all kids do it to their parents. I realize this. We ring the doorbell and we walk in. Why it is, I don't know. My boys know better. I'm like, you never know what stage you might catch me in. So you might want to knock. Now, of course, Justin, he's one, he just likes to walk in. So we have his barrel latch on our bedroom door. Hey, let me in. I'm changing. No, let me in. I want in. No, I'm changing. You stay out. And he sits out there and cries. God has never promised instant gratification. God never promised you that instantly things were going to change in your life. Now, there are some people that things instantly changed in their lives when they got saved. There are some things. But the only thing He has promised us is seed, time, and harvest. It's going to take time. You got to plant the seed, it's going to take time, and then there's going to be a harvest. But if we keep operating thinking, it's instant gratification, I sowed a $100 seed yesterday, I expect a $1,000 return tomorrow. It ain't happening. Wealth is not made overnight. And the wealth that is lost overnight. I don't know what it is, but there's all these lottery stories right now going on in the news. They've got a list of like 30 different people that they've interviewed across at least the United States. And their biggest thing, a lot of them, their biggest thing is, the lottery ruined my life. Can I tell you something here, folks? First off, you shouldn't have been playing it. But second off, if you do play it and you win it, the lottery is not what ruined your life. You ruined your life. The true you came out. See, alcohol and money do that. They do. They release the inhibited person who's inside. Well, I was always so fun-loving. Yeah, that's because that's what's inside of you, and you are too embarrassed, and you think that alcohol is the only way that you can show your true self. Because a lot of us are walking around with walls. We're trying to protect ourselves. We don't want, but when you get, oh, I just get relaxed. Well, praise God, you can get relaxed and you can be yourself around people without the alcohol. Because the alcohol does other issues to you as well. And so money does the same thing. Money is an amplifier. It's just going to show who you are, really. Well, I want all this money. Well, let me see if I remember where this couple's at. I think they were in Illinois, this couple that won. They won like $3 million, took they won $1.8 million and they took $1.3 million as their cash, one-time cash payment. $1.3 million. Now, I could do some things with $1.3 million. I could really do some things. This couple, inside of 2 years, was flat broke. Oh, and by the way, went to jail for tax fraud. They didn't pay their taxes on that $1.3 million. So now this woman, her husband died. He got off lucky. That's what she says. He died. He got off lucky. He died during the trials. She spent 2 years in prison, about to get out. She says, for the rest of my life, I will have to pay the IRS $100 a month until I die. It does not matter. And then that will not even touch it. She says, I'm going to have to find a job now. She had a job. She quit it so that she could gamble and party. That's all they did. And they expect $1.3 million to just keep hanging around. Listen, you could have $1 billion. And if that's the kind of lifestyle you're going to live, listen, Paris Hilton will eventually bankrupt her father. People like that will eventually do it. And because they were not patient in learning how to handle money. You got to know how to handle money. You just get money and next thing you know, you're bankrupt. Why? Because you don't know how to handle money. You give somebody responsibility that's never learned it, who's never been given it over time, and then suddenly they got it. They didn't take the time to learn it. I always hated seeing people come into the Marine Corps automatically with E3. Personally, I think everybody needs to come in E1 and start from the ground up. Military all the way across the board. But this is a recruiting ploy. They do it, and what they do is they pull some guy who doesn't know his head from a hole in the wall. They say, if you will sign up for 6 years, or you get two of your buddies to sign up, we'll give you E3. Well, here this joker is. Never learned anything, and now suddenly he's the boss. He still doesn't know how to clean his own underwear yet. And he's my boss. Maybe I'm 25 years old. I've got a wife and kids. I got a family. I just wanted to do something different. And I'm an E1 because I'm not going to go lie to somebody. I could not get anybody to go join the Marine Corps with me. Couldn't get him to talk to recruiters. I went in E1. But you know what I found out? I say this because I had this actual situation in our... I was older than most of my platoon squad leaders and stuff in my schools. Because they all just got out of high school, signed up for 6 years, and next thing you know, they're E3s. I'm an E1. Man, I got to do everything they say. They had never taken the time to learn how to have responsibility. Be responsible for somebody else. See, when I was growing up, I did a lot of babysitting. I was responsible for three other kids. Four. Yes, I hurt them from period time to time. Not always on purpose. We would just play rough and things get away. You know, I did break Barbie's arm. She didn't die exactly. It's a miracle, but you know, I did break my brother's nose, and we were just playing. We weren't mean. We were just playing, and that wasn't supposed to work that way. But anyhow, this guy doesn't know anything. Well, I know about being responsible for other people. He doesn't. Well, he's got his guaranteed duty. He's going back to California. He's going to go to California where he was lived and everything. I went to Japan, and long story short, just a hair over a year, I was an E4. He was UA, or you might know it as AWOL. So when they caught him, he went to E1 because he was not ever taught patience. He just thought he knew what he was. Well, I've got the title of Marine, I'm this, I'm that, big whoop-de-doo. You don't know anything because you've never taken the time to learn it. If it's worth having, it's worth taking the time to do it right. You got to take time. You want to build, you know, praise God. You know, this came together quickly. I understand that. That was a total God thing, if you understand it. Buildings do not get remodeled this fast. Never seen it. Not with the crew that we had. It's not that the crew was bad. We've got iron workers. We got retirees. We got everything but carpenters and electricians and plumbers. Now, we had one of those, but I couldn't do everything. So people had to do other things that they did not know, that we took their time. But God blessed our efforts, and that's why it came together quickly. That's why it came together like it did. That's why every time anybody comes in here that for professional purposes usually, they're like, wow, this is a beautiful building. This is beautiful. I say, well, thank you. We worked hard at it. I said, it took us 3 weeks. And I say us. I don't say it took me, folks. I say it took us 3 weeks just to clean the floors and the ceiling and the walls. And that was every day. I was personally so glad to be done with Crud Cutter. But you see, we get that now because we were patient to do it. We just kept doing it, kept doing it, and kept doing it. We didn't jump in and say, hey, we got to get this done. See, I've worked for guys that were like that. Got to get that job done. You're not done yet? Well, if you'd leave me alone, I'd get done. But it's not going to happen in an hour. This is a 10-hour job. And that's what people want today because they've got it in their mind that time is money. Yes, I understand it is. But it is not an excuse to shortchange the job. You know, Cheryl, over there at Utaka, if they suddenly decide, you know what, we don't want to spend as much time welding these converters together, we're only going to put half of the welds in them. How long do you think before Honda figures it out? Yeah, the car will fall apart. They're going to catch up. Well, we want the job done faster. Well, that's why we've gone to a lot of robotics and things like that now. But even that, you can still do it too fast and cause yourself problems. Now, I actually do have scriptures, but you just got to. Now, sometimes the time in our seed time and harvest is shorter than other times, and other times it's longer. Sometimes you may plant a seed today, and tomorrow you reap a harvest. But sometimes you might plant a seed 10 years ago and not receive the harvest for 10 years. Don't ask me, but I do have I'm finally warm again. I was outside this morning and got cold. It's amazing how cold it is on the bike, even at 25 miles an hour. But I had to ride. Just tired of it sitting in my garage. Here's some interesting things for you to look at. The gestation period for an American possum, you know, those little gray things that I try to hit on the road all the time. They are. The gestation period for an American possum is 10 to 12 days. Yeah. It's only 10 to 12 days. They consider the time that it crawls out of the actual womb and into the pouch, the gestation period is over because the pouch is not totally sealed. The gestation period for a human being is 9 months. Now this one kind of got me. The gestation period for a blue whale. This thing's born at about 5,000 pounds. It's only 10 to 11 months. That one surprised me. Because at about 270 pounds, the African elephant gestation period is 22 months. Ladies, you thought 9 months was a long time to be pregnant? Tried carrying a 270-pound baby. And he's going to be with you for a couple of years. But what I did see, though, is the longer the time... See, the seeds all started out the same. Tiny. Microscopic. Nothing has changed there. The seeds are still... You still need a microscope to see them. But the greater the end of the result, took longer to get there. Now everybody talks about the mighty oak. Well, the mighty oak was started by just a little acorn. Well, really, an acorn's kind of a big seed. You stop and think about it in comparison. Look at a cottonwood. Bob, how tall was that cottonwood out in your pasture? 96 feet tall. This thing had three different divisions of it that were that big. Every time I'd come back, I think it started happening before I went to overseas. Lightning had hit it, took a chunk out of it, and I come back in, lightning hit it again, took another chunk. Finally, it was down. They finished this thing out of here. Tree was only about yay tall now, but no. But anyhow, have you ever seen a cottonwood seed? Now, I think the story of the mighty oak is a great story. Let's go to the cottonwood. Cottonwood are them little white things that about June are floating around, walking along and you breathe it, you know. Or if you're in my case, they fill your garage full of white cotton balls all over the corners. Those little tiny things are an individual seed. And when they take root, they get... Cottonwoods are some of the biggest trees around. Size and height. They're huge. But it didn't just happen overnight. Oh yeah, it looks like, oh yeah, the tree could shoot up that much in a matter of a month or so. But in order for it to get this big around and 90 feet tall, it takes a few years to do that. How about the redwoods and the sequoias? I mean, come on. They date them things back to when Jesus was walking on the earth. I think that's awesome. And before he returns, that's one of the things I've got to see. To think, you were around when Jesus was. Now rocks I expect, but living vegetation, no. That's just awesome. But it took patience. You don't go out one day and say, hey, I'm going to plant an oak tree, and hopefully by next year I'll have a big enough tree to hook my hammock in between there. It ain't going to happen. You can't go buy any cartoon Miracle-Grow and whoop, you got an instant tree. I wish, yeah. So does Joshua. But it takes patience. 10 years down the road, you've got a tree big enough to hold the other end of a thing. But it's only about this big around, if that. It's called patience. We get impatient. We want things done now. We are again, back to our building practices, we're working on so many building practices, trying to speed the processes up. I guarantee you, roofing has changed in 30 years, hasn't it, Keith? Yeah. Masonry work has changed. Concrete work has changed. Building barns has changed. Nobody builds barns like they used to. Well, a few people do. I know a guy that actually had an entire, probably 100 Amish come out and building a barn like that. And they built it in a day. But it took that many manpower. This building here, this is a more of a reflection of modern building techniques. We've got poles every 8 feet, girders. That's what you need. Truss has already made it a factory. This building went up a whole lot faster than, say, Bobby got this old barn out there in Johnsville. I guarantee you, this one went up faster than that one did. Of course, it's got logs in it like that and 70 feet long. But guess what? How old would you say the barn is at Smith's? I know it was in the 1800s when it was built. Yeah. I was thinking 1860s maybe, but we'll just use that, because I do know where a barn is that was built right after the Revolution, or not the Revolution, the Civil War. Those barns, properly maintained, will be around longer than this one. I guarantee it, because they took a little more time in some things. Here, oh no, man, we bring a bulldozer in, we level it out, we do this, we do that, we throw the poles in the ground. You know, they're treated poles, Pastor. That's for termites. Keep that in mind, please. That's only for termites, not rot. Rot still happens. But because of that, we still have the Colosseum in Rome, the aqueducts. Because it took them longer. Not because they worked, you know, took them longer to work. It was because they took their time to do the job right. The pyramids. I mean, come on. Those things are, we can't even figure out how they got the stones there. We got an idea where they took them, they mined them from. But that was downriver, a long ways. And they've got, and these things are huge. Patience. Turn to Psalm 37. Now we'll get into some scriptures. Psalm chapter 37, starting in verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know, I think I would have to say that's probably one of the hardest things to do in God, is to wait for Him. Not because He's slow, just because I got to bring my flesh into submission over this. I've got to bring me into submission. I've got to make sure that Art's not jumping out in front of the cart. You know what happens when you run out, jump, get the cart in front of the horse? You get a wreck. Or if you get in front of the cart, you get run over. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Don't get concerned about what your neighbor's doing just because he seems to be prospering. Don't get concerned about the brother across the aisle just because he's prospering one way. Do you think that's the only way to prosper? I mean, come on, seriously. Everybody used to think the New York Stock Exchange was the only way to prosper. Today? Well, Pat, is it? No. Pat's got investments. Some of you others, you got investments. It's not the way to prosper. There are people who have prospered during all this, and it wasn't in New York. I'll be honest with you, the best way to prosper is investing in people. And I'm talking about just more than, well, we'll teach them how to read and write. No, 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 no. There's other ways. Besides that, reading and writing, that's why I send my kids to school. If they ain't teaching them to read and write, I want to know why. If my kid's being a butthead and not learning to read and write, I want to know why. And then we'll deal with it. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. What's he talking about here again? Patience. having patience. Do not fret. Cease from anger. When you get angry, 9 times out of 10, it's because you just don't have enough patience. And you need to develop more. Well, Pastor, I'm the most patient person I know. Well, then you better get a little more patient. You need more patience. Because if you're constantly blowing your lid, you've lost your patience. Now, I'm not talking about somebody just about hit your kid with their car because they weren't looking. Truth of the matter is, they're impatient. They're not looking. Would I address that person? You better believe I would. I do have an impatience with stupidity. You know, for the last year, we've had signs that say 5 mile an hour speed limit. Actually, 2 years now. And then we hung a cable on the end of the road, of the driveway down here. And I was like, you know, last year we had some problems, people pulling donuts in the driveway, heard that they were driving under. Well, I painted on there, do not enter. I thought it was all done. And then here, some on certain Sundays, I'd be up here preaching, and I'd catch a car go by. Well, the car never came back. Nobody came in. I'm like, oh, what gives? Wednesday nights I'd see it. Where are they going? Well, the truth of the matter is they could drive underneath it. Tuesday, Joshua and I were in here over there working, and we heard gravel popping. They were kind of popping fast. I grew up on a dirt road. I can tell you when somebody's going fast or slow. Man, them gravel were popping fast. I said, Joshua, go see who's out there. I said, they're in a hurry. Hope nothing's wrong. Joshua goes look through a hole. He said, Dad, I can't see anybody. So he goes to look. He says, well, the neighbor's out in the driveway. Well, I went out there with him. There ain't no car. Nobody left. Nobody else there. I said, what happened? He said, they went underneath that. They never slowed down. Now, I have fixed their red wagon so that they will slow down or have to go to the body shop. And they will be calling Safe Light for new windshields. If they figure that out, well, I got another way around them. I'll weld a gate in. Now, you say, well, Pastor, it sounds like you're a little impatient. No, I'm not impatient. You can ask Joshua. I was actually proud of myself. I did not blow my top. I just went into the building, got the chain, the pipe, the drill, and we attached a 4-inch pipe to the bottom of that thing so they ain't going to pick it up. Now, like I said, to a degree, I do have an impatience with stupidity. And that's what I call stupidity. You know better than to do that. And if anybody drives underneath there, like I said, I told Josh, we'll figure it out if anybody does try to go underneath it. It's not going to be hard to find their car. They'll either have the front end ripped completely off, or they will have no windshield. Because if they hit it just right, it might just pick the front end of their car up. Now, but when we're to have patience, he's talking about, you know what? I'm going to keep going the way I know God told me to go. This is the way God told me to go. Well, you're not prospering. You know what? Right now at the moment, I know there's something else. And when I say prospering, I mean you're not rolling in the dough. That's what the world looks at, prospering. Well, this church isn't prospering. I don't look at that. I look at, hey, whose lives are being changed? There's not a person in here who cannot say, you know what, I'm not a stronger Christian. Every one of you can say, I am. I've learned a little something. Even if you learned a little tidbit, you're stronger now than you were then. Not because I'm such a great person. It's because of the Word of God. So, is this a successful ministry? You better believe it. I don't care that it's not 1,000. I don't care that it's not 500. God knows what I can handle right now. And, you know, and since I had to start talking to my hairline to tell it quit going back, I thought, you know what? We'll just hold it right there. If we have to hold the hairline right here, that's good. So far. You know the things that develop the patience on you? I was sitting down at the table the other day, it was a couple weeks ago, eating dinner. Jesse, he sits at the end, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my dinner, got my head down a little bit, just mind my own business, not trying to get wrapped up in anything. Jesse looks up, and he says, "Dad, why is your hair shaped like an M?" I just stopped. Now, I want you to see what Jesse's looking at. I'm sitting here eating. I'm like, what? Then it dawned on me. Oh, yeah. It has gone back quite a bit. Now it looks like an M. I said, it's an upside down W, Jesse. No, but anyhow. But God works on our patience. Because that's what we got to have. Let me ask you a question. You know, God does say, okay, that's it. We're going to bring some retribution here. You need spanked. That doesn't mean you're not a patient person when you have to correct, and when you have to stop things. Patience says, okay, now I need to teach you something. I need to teach you. Now, what am I teaching anybody that tries to drive underneath that thing now? Don't do it. You want to watch? I do have a camera. I thought about mounting it. I will tell you, though, it has already worked as a deterrent. That was my whole point. We were in here Thursday afternoon and heard gravel coming up again. And I look out, and here comes this little green car. He gets up, and then he turns around, goes right back out. It's doing its purpose. The whole purpose of not having people traveling through there is I'm not going to have anybody in this church hit. We've had adults nearly hit by people cutting through there. And you hit one of these children, all I can say is you better pray that God has mercy on your soul. It's intent. Well, all I can do is throw rocks. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Patience. Like I said, it's not about not ever administering discipline. God had to do that. Why do you think Jesus finally said, "How long do I have to put up with you boys? You're grown men. You need to start acting like it." He corrected them. And guess what happened? They grew up. Sometimes tough love is what you got to have. He worked with them, and worked with them, and worked with them. And finally, boy, how many times do I got to tell you? You know, any fathers use that phrase, that line? How many times do I got to tell you to do it this way? I don't know. I know what the Family Circus cartoonist, you know, in the papers, what... That was all real life. Who did this? I don't know. So you got this little guy named I don't know running around. I asked three boys, and I know one of them did it. Who did this? I don't know. Well, I admire your camaraderie that you're sticking together, but somebody's going to hang for this. James chapter 1, New Testament now. James chapter 1, verses 3 and we'll go to start in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We never think about that, do we? We don't count and say, "Oh Lord, I thank you today I'm going through a trial." Here James is telling us, count it all joy. Of all the things that you can count for joy, and I got a lot of things I can count joyful. And going through trials is not one of them, usually. But this is what James is telling us. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Wow. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Can I tell you truthfully how to succeed in the world's things and in God's kingdom? Right there it was. Let patience have its perfect work in you. Wow. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He didn't just say lacking nothing spiritually. He said lacking nothing. Exactly. Not a nothing nil. Zilch. You're not missing anything. Why? Because you have been perfected through patience. I have looked in my own life, folks. By the way, I'm preaching this out of my own life. All of these gods of our fathers, I'm preaching them from my own life. When we went down, we first hit ourselves with these. These were traits that we saw in us. Well, Pastor, you're kind of a scoundrel. Well, you think? I have many talents. The Bible says, of whom much has been given, much is required. I've been given many talents. I gotta use them for good now. But he said, you will lack nothing. And it's not because he's like, well, you know what? You did pretty good with that lady the other day. You didn't bite her head off. No, it's a lifestyle of that. It's not just passing one test. That's why they give you two tests to take your driver's license. They want to know what you know, and then they want to know how you apply it. One test does not mean you've passed it. You know, I'll use our nurses in particular. You know, when you was going through schooling, you went and took test after test after test after test. And even teaching, you took test after test after test. And then when you passed the course, you've got to take another test. Personally, I hate taking tests. I mean, that's one of my downfalls. I hate taking tests. Amen, sister. She detests tests. And here James tells us to count it all joy while we're being tested, because knowing that it's producing patience. And let have patience have its perfect work. Patience is what's going to work those sharp edges off that we've been looking at. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Don't be looking at other people saying, oh, they need more patience. Don't you ever look at somebody else and say, God, they need some more work. They aren't your servant. One of the leadership principles that we had to, one of them, the only one I memorized, because there's 14 of them. I only needed to know three for boards. So the one I did memorize, I thought, this one means the most that I can use anywhere in my life. Know myself and seek self-improvement. Know who I am. Know where I'm at. Know where art is. Yeah, Joanne may need some work on patience, but that's not my job. That is God's. Joanne needs to recognize it and say, okay, God, I see some areas. I'm going to move over here. She about bit me. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to go back up on the stage. All of you looking a little ravenous right now. Back. Yeah, don't kill the messenger. Don't bite his fingers off. He needs them. It's up to us to look and say, God, and I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as you say, okay, Lord, you're going to get the opportunities. Just remember that tomorrow morning, that after you go home here today and you say, God, there are some areas in my life I need work in. And obviously, patience is where I've got to start. Well, you might not even make it to tomorrow morning. It might happen on the way home. And God may use the person sitting in the passenger seat to start it. Yeah, then it's on. God may use somebody sitting at the red light. Or I should say sitting at the green light. A little toot is fine. Getting into it is another issue. Now, I will tell you this. You know, Joshua, like, he's got this truck picked out. It's a nice-looking truck. It's an older Ford. Four-wheel drive. Like I said, he's got big old tires. But he's got this idea in his head that he wants air horns on it. He was looking for Dixie. We couldn't find one that sounded quite right. They sounded a little off. But then we started looking. We thought, well, we'll go on YouTube and we'll see what some of these people have got. So we typed in. Okay, folks, there are some really big air horns. Now, I've got one off of an off-road dump truck, and it is loud. These guys have these things off of freighter ships. They've got bugles on them this big around. The guy's got to have a tank as long as that row, and it's got the back end of it's this big around. Joshua and I were both like, we got to have one of those. It's all you're going to haul around. That's for those people that can't hear your horn. By the way, the operator has to wear hearing protection. Our trials develop our faith, which is developing our patience. Well, God, you don't know what my spouse is putting me through. I can probably imagine. I'm not any different, and neither is she. Because that's where usually it's going to start working, at home, at closeness, those people you're around all the time. Then you're going to run into the people out in the community. There's been times that I've, I just had a pretty major mistake the other day at the bank. Not my fault, their fault. Big mistake. Huge. I went to get some money out and I looked at my balance. I'm like, this ain't right. Thank God for online banking, man. I got in there and checked. I found out what the problem was. I was able to look at the checks, look at the deposit slips. I'm covered. They put the wrong number in. So I'm there first thing Saturday morning. Not bright-eyed, but bushy-tailed. And, you know, and I know these gals. I know most of them in there by name, the guys, the people in the bank. And she just kept apologizing over and over. And I said, it wasn't your fault. Oh, but I am so sorry. I said, well, we'd all been sorry if I'd have bounced anything, but I said, it was just an accident. Something happened. I'm not getting upset over it. But do you know how many people would have gone down there, ripped their heads off? Because it was actually, as it turns out, I think it was a computer error. It was not a person error. It was technology that screwed it up. Technology saved it, and technology messed it up. So if you'd have gone down there and ripped the teller who actually did the transaction, you would have probably destroyed somebody who's a really nice person. And who I've been trying to be a light to. So if I go down there and blow my top because there was a little mistake, they're going, we're totally understandable, sir. It's totally... No, it's not. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to have patience. Okay, we've got a problem. Let's get this thing fixed. And then the gal said, you know, I've got this. You know, hopefully they'll get on the ball and they will go ahead and credit this transaction fee and all this other stuff. I said, okay, no problem. Can I tell you what happened when you're patient and you let God do what he needs to be done? Everything went off smoothly. On a Saturday, somebody in a corporate office somewhere sat down and made sure that I'd gotten all my money back, even the fees that they had charged me. See, but if I had gone down there, see, it's not because it wasn't right, it's because I would have lost my temper. I'd have lost my patience. I'd have been losing any perfecting that I had been working on. And a teacher is supposed to be patient. So guys, I'm going to preach at you guys first. Be patient when you're teaching your children. This is something I've learned the hard way. I tend to get a little carried away. Now, there are times that maybe you do need to get carried away. You need to move a little faster, like when you're holding drywall over top of your head and your arms are about to give out and you've already dropped it twice. Hurry, quickly, get a screw in it. Get a board there. Get something to support it. But like I said, I'm now knowing, looking at myself, I've probably been a little rougher on Joshua than I needed to. Because I lack patience in teaching. But here's the problem, folks. It didn't start with me. For me, it started with my dad. And with my dad, it started with his dad. And so forth, and so on. It just kept going back and back, and it's time we put this thing to bed once and for all. That's the whole point of this message, is to examine our lives, examine these things, and see they are wrong. These attitudes, these mentalities that we have are dead wrong. Our ancestors died. I don't know about you, but my grandfather died at 61 years of age. Way too young to die. My grandmother was not much older. Can I tell you some stupid things that happened in their lives? Smoking and drinking. And it was too far into their life. They didn't think they could quit smoking. They'd quit drinking, gotten saved. But those lifestyles killed them. I've got family members that seem to think it's okay. Evidently, they've forgotten the hell. You know, I mean, come on. My grandfather should be in his 90s right now. Because see, his mother lived, I think it was into her 90s, wasn't it? Late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there. So longevity was on their side. But stupid things weren't. And these are some of the things. Do you know how much calmer you'll be if you just learn to be patient? You don't get your shorts in a knot. You know what? Let's just calm down. Let's cancel half the things we're doing this week. Just do it. I'm not talking about God, by the way. That's the first thing. Okay, great. Church, we're not going to church this week. You're cutting out the very thing that's going to bring you life. What I'm talking about is all the other things that are pulling you that you don't want to do. Do you know what? Here, let me help some of you out. When somebody asks you to do something like that and you don't want to do it, just say no. But who will do it? That's not my problem. Learn that one. I used to be one of those guys, oh yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it because nobody else will do it. Yeah, that's great. You're the one that's going to die of the heart attack. You're the one whose blood pressure is going to need leveling out. Because you'll do it because nobody else will do it. It's about time you start making some of them other people that this is their life. Oh, I live for this. How about you take a turn at bat? And I will throw this out there since I just used that analogy, in coaching, guys. It's the same guys coaching all the time. They're the ones that are working their butts off on regular jobs. Then they got to come and do it, trying to teach your kid who you refuse to take out back and throw the ball. Can I tell you the best coach's dad? It's the one who can take the time out back. Mom's the same thing. I And I know you may not. I'll throw the ball and stuff. I do not follow sports. I couldn't even tell you who won last night. Who did? Ohio State? Okay. I didn't even know they were playing until I started noticing all my neighbors around me seemed to be having parties with big TVs. And I was like, oh, the Buckeyes are playing. Okay. Because that's not an important thing in my life. What is an important thing in my life is doing things with my sons. Hey, why don't we plan on going here? Why don't we plan on doing this? See, Jesse, he loves playing video games. He and I are now playing a video game. It's called Fish Tycoon. And I am having a heck of a time with fish dying. But it's a lot, $6.99 is a lot cheaper than buying a big aquarium and all this other stuff and then learning that my fish are dying. Especially when I'm trying to sell my fish for $50 and $60 a piece, okay? Because I got to try to make money at this too, so. Like, holy. But it's kind of neat because they look like real fish, aquarium and the whole thing. But you know what? That's something I can do. You know, Joshua, I mean, and I can't, but listen, get over the guilt complex that you can't spend 100 hours a week with your children. They will grow up. They've got to see you be a man first off. If your idol of a man is Pee Wee Herman, you're in trouble. I mean, come on. They need to see a man who's loving their mother. They need to see a man who's providing for them. They need to see a man who's willing to stand up and forget everything that he's got for them. That's the kind of man your children need to see. Not the man that's sitting back and saying, well, after the game, we'll go out and... Well, listen, if the both of you like to watch ball games together. Interact. Talk. This isn't supposed to be a Father's Day message, but... But this is an area, this is why we have children running, drag racing through parking lots in churches. This is why. Because the fathers are not spending, they don't know their sons. Do you want to know who one of my best friends is? He's still not real thrilled about going to Lowe's all the time, but he has gotten over that because he goes to the tool section. I'm still running around in plumbing and wiring, but you understand what I'm saying? The only patience is going to develop that. I got to hurry and wrap this up. Proverbs 15:18. Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Can I tell you a little something here, folks? Are you having a problem with your temper? You having problems with anger? No, you're not. You're having a problem with patience. What is it that ticks you off that really gets you mad? And I'm not talking about sin. Little things tick people off. And I've even recognized this in myself. I can't believe, why didn't you give a turn signal? You know, if people would just not learn, would learn not to let everything bother them. Yeah, I understand it's inconsiderate for people not to give a turn signal. And it's even worse when they don't have brake lights. But you know what? You are ultimately responsible for that car you're driving. What is a safe following distance? 3 seconds. Thank you very much. Find a point. 1, 2, 3. If you got there before that, you're the ones too close. Back off, Jack. The people are passing me. Well, keep letting the morons pass you. So what? I will go so fast on the road And then if anybody wants to pass me, they can do that. Like on 71, you know, where you got three lanes? I stick in one lane. I drive one speed. I drive a hair over what the posted limit is. Technically, I'm speeding. You want to run 85 miles an hour, you can go around me. I don't care what lane I'm in. I'm the one that's already over the speed limit. Yes, Mr. State Trooper, I will move for you. But why do we get worried about all these other things? How about we learn to start controlling that? Us. Us is the only thing we can control. I can't control Jason. Can't control JD. They're the only ones that can do that. Jenny can't even control JD. And JD can't control Jenny. He says she tries. But he's the only one who can ultimately do that. Angela cannot control me. Now, ladies, you do have more influence than you realize. But you cannot control. If I really don't want to do something, am I going to do it, honey? I don't care what family get-together it is. You can go. She went to a reunion by herself. And she did not bring me any food back either. So I will stay. I missed out, apparently. But I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay home. And she did kind of want me to go. I'm sorry. My family did not grow up going to running around going to get-togethers all the time. And I told her, I said, I'm just tired of sitting back in the corner. I'll start talking with somebody and they'll walk off. Fine. I can sit at home and do this and watch TV. I miss out on food, though, because I was starving by the time she got back. But I'm the only one that can control that. She can't. And by the way, that's a personal preference. I love my family. But if you've got a problem with temper, it's not a temper issue. It's not that things make you mad. It's the fact that you don't have discipline to be patient about it. When are they, you know, people get upset. When are they ever going to get this road work done? Thank God they're doing it, and shut your mouth. Man, I go down some roads where my truck feels like it's disappearing. They need to do it. Don't worry about it. Hebrews 6:15. This will be the last scripture. This is talking about Abraham. Verse 15. And said, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he patiently endured. Now, like I said, Abraham is an excellent example in faith. Yeah, I know he got out of the will of God, tried to make the promise come back, come a little faster. He paid for it. Isaac paid for it. Jacob has paid for it. We're paying for it. But he held to the promise. Even Abraham knew in his heart that Ishmael was not the son. Abraham was a horn dog. I'll just put it flat to you. His wife said, hey, you want another woman? Thank you. Yeah. But see, the problem is Abraham had been told Isaac would come from her. Not from her. He just got him another concubine. That's all that happened. Abraham didn't think that Ishmael was going to be the promised son. Now, Hagar evidently fed that into Ishmael because that is the whole belief of the Muslims. Can I tell you a little something? This is a little historical thing. There's some writings that back this. There were two servants that went with Isaac and Abraham. He said young men, actually. Most translations just say young men. He said, you guys wait here while the boy and I go on the mountain and then we'll come back. They have one of them as a servant. Is it Eleazar? Is that it? Can't think of his name now, but it was a servant that Abraham was afraid would inherit everything. You can go back into Genesis and figure it out. But the Muslims and even some ancient Jewish traditions hold that the other servant was Ishmael. Ishmael pulled a holy Moses. He went and told everybody that it was him that was sacrificed. Get in here and find out about the Muslims. That's what they'll tell you. That it was Ishmael who was sacrificed. And it was Ishmael who was rescued. And it was Ishmael who was blessed. And he was blessed, but he wasn't blessed with the blessing that God was bringing down. And because of jealousy, he brought it on himself. So now his descendants are, most of them are terrorists. Hate to say it that way, but they are. They'd kill you and me in a heartbeat just for being here. In this country, by the way. So, but patiently, Abraham endured. He endured some stuff. I mean, come on, think about this. Okay, he's thinking, okay, maybe this wasn't such a good idea to take this other woman as a wife, have a child with her. Now, I've got a totally dysfunctional family. But you know Abraham was probably pretty proud of Ishmael. He's a son after all. But now he's got Ishmael picking on Isaac, and Isaac is the son of promise. He can't have that. And not only that, Sarah comes up and says, look at what that boy's doing. Send them away. I want them gone. So now Abraham has got to send Hagar and Ishmael away. He endured. Like I said, he paid for the whole Ishmael and Hagar issue. But he still endured patiently. And he believed God and he trusted God. Obviously, because when God commanded that he be sacrificed, that Isaac be sacrificed, he did it. Now, Pastor, he didn't sacrifice. Yes, he did. The sacrifice occurred in his heart. He had already given him up. He didn't just say, well, you know, I'm going to just go up and go through the motions and hope that God quickly brings. Abraham's confession never waned. He was patient and he went through it. Matter of fact, the Bible says the angel of the Lord had to stop him because he was about to do it. He was going to kill Isaac. But the Bible also says that Abraham knew that God could raise him from the dead. He wasn't concerned about it. Patiently he endured. Patiently, if you endure. Like I said, you want to know if you're impatient? Just look in your own life. Do you get upset at the computer because it takes 10 seconds longer to boot up? Do you get upset because you had to sit for 30 seconds at a traffic light? Are you too busy to talk to somebody in the store for just a second? You know, the other day, I don't remember what day it was now. Is it Wednesday? It was Wednesday. I was doing some running around, had to drop off some bills and stuff, and was in the store the other day and was talking over here at the hardware store and talking to Richard. And, man, I got to get going. So, but I thought, you know, I'm going to talk to him. He likes talking to me, so I'm going to talk to him. And I took a few minutes to talk to him. And customers came in, so I said, oh, I'll see you later. I left.